If we're on Tezayin with Bay's the bottom. No, before that. Yeah, that's where we are. Tana Rabbanan. Ketzav Meragdin lefnei HaKal. Rashi says, Ketzav Meragdin, ma omrim lefaneha. What do you say when you dance? So what do we have to dance for? Just to the main thing, the Iker is to say. We'll see in 1 second. Let's just see a little bit of the Gemara and then we'll... So the Gemara says, "Beshamay Omrim Kala Kamoshehi." You say the Kala is as she is, and we'll see. There's three pshatim in Beshamay. UBeSilul Omrim Kala Nova Chasuda, and BeSilul says that you say Kala Nova Chasuda. Omru Lohem Beshamay LeBeSilul. The Beshamay said to BeSilul, "Hari Shehoisa Chigeres Osuma Omrim La Kala Nova Chasuda, VaTorah Omrim Midvar Sheker Tirchok." How can you say to every kala, kala nova chasuda? Maybe she's not nova chasuda. Right? The Torah said, midvar sheker tirchok. Not only don't say a sheker, far away from a sheker. Omru lohem beishilu beishamil. Divreichem, mishalokach mekech ra min ashok. Yishabchenu be'enov, or yiganenu be'enov. Somebody bought something, can't return. And should you praise it, or tell him the truth, that it's really a rotten thing? There's no toelis from it at all, to tell him that it's rotten. To make him feel bad. Heavy omer yishabchenu bein. In that kind of case, it's clear that even if you think it's not nice, or it's not nice, you should say it's nice. What's going to hurt? Mikan omru chachomim la'olam teidaito shalodam urevis ambaris. From here, Chazal said that a person should be sociable. His mind should be mixed in with other people, and therefore the pashtus sugya is that you're allowed to lie mishum darkei shalom. And here it's Darkei Shalom, right? Keep peace between the husband and wife, that's mutter. Let's see Rashi, and then we'll see what Pshat is going to do. Ketzav Meragdin, ma omrim lefaneha. When you dance, what do you say in front of her? Kemo shehi, lefi yofyo, v'chashivusa, mekalsinosa. You say the truth. In other words, you praise her according to what she is. Chasuda chut shel chesed mashuch aleha. Chasuda means that she has a chut shel chesed, like it says by Esther, that even though you're akrekes haisa, she was green, but she looked charming. People, chut shel chesed. Mikan omru, midivri beisil shomri yishabchenu, tehe daito shel odom urevis mabrios, lasos leish veish kirtzono. To do what everybody wants. So they ask Chazal Shaya to do what everybody wants. So a lot of times people want opposite things. You can't please everybody. So how can you do the ish v'ish kirtzoma? Okay, so let's spend some time on this, since it's a famous Gemara, because I don't know what it's talking about. First of all, it's Masha from this Gemara, that the Iker Rikud and Shevach is for the Kala. Ketzim Rafni HaKala. It doesn't say the Chosin and Kala, it says the Kala. The Iker is to dance in front of the Kala. Pischei Tshuva says from here, that you see Ketzav Meragdin lifnei HaKala, but not im HaKala. And he has tainus on the mitzvah tants that he said some people do in his time, where they dance with the Kala, afilu behefsik mitpachas, even with a hefsik of a handkerchief or whatever, is not proper. Now, it could be he's not talking about what they do today. Hefsik mitpachas, he could mean that they used to dance with the Kala and hold her and just put a handkerchief between. Right, so they're holding the kala, but not holding her flesh to flesh, but with a hefsik in between. That, he says, for sure is not okay. So what they do today is stam on a end of a rope or whatever. So that's kesel of meragnif nehakala. But it's mashma that the ikur is lifnehakala, not lifnehachosin or lifnehachosin vihakala, lifnehakala. Yet the Gemara in Bracha says kol anehena misudas choson ve'eno mesamcho. Is over behei kolos. There's mashma. The ikur simcha is the chosam, not the kal. Right? It doesn't say kol ha nehena misudas chosam veinam esamchom. Esamcho. The ikur is the chosam. So which is it? It's the ikur simcha. And what's the purpose of the simcha over here? What's the sameach chosam the kal? What's the mitzvah? So basically, there are three shitas. One shita is that enochanami. The ikur simcha is for the kal. The Iker Simcha is for the Chosin. Because the Kala, Tavla Mesov Tandu, Mila Mesov Arna, Kala's happy whatever she gets. So therefore, you don't have to make her extra happy with the chosen. But the chosen, we want him to be sure that he made the right choice. People always have second thoughts or whatever, doubts. So we want to make him happy. So kol anehenu misudas chosen, deinu misamcho, is the ikar is the chosen. What's a kala? Case of maragdi akala. How do you make the chosen happy? By praising his kala. So what does that have to do with the dancing? The chorus will come and say, she's a kala nova chasuda. But just stam words isn't as convincing as when a person shows that he really gets into it, right? And while he's dancing, he says these tremendous shvachos, so it shows that he's putting his feet where his mouth is. That the intensity which you dance, you can see how much the person really means what he's saying. He doesn't come say it stam empty words, but you see the simcha that he has in the dancing, and together with that, you see that he really means it. That he really feels this is a kala that's worth dancing in front of. And he says what he has to say. That is what's called one daya. So here the ikar is the simcha of the chosen, but the simcha of the chosen comes through praising his kala in front of him. That makes him happy. Right? When he hears about the kala. Okay. And in order to really believe what you're saying, you're not just saying it to make him feel good, you have to say it, it's just the dancing, so you show that it's really meaningful. That's one pshat. Another pshat is the opposite. The ikar simcha is for the kala. What's it called? That the kala should be the simcha. Except, what's it called? When's the kala the simcha? When her husband's happy with her. So therefore you make the chosen happy with the kala, so the kala can be the simcha. Right? And why? Because the kala is stuck with this guy. She can't marry anybody else. As long as she's married to this guy and nobody else. Theoretically, the husband can marry another wife. So he's not, doesn't feel really stuck. So therefore, if she's not so good, okay, so, you know, I'll get somebody else or whatever. But if he's not so good, she's stuck. So therefore, the ikar simcha is for the kala. And, the kala is happy when her husband's happy with her. So the ikar is misamech kol anehenu misudas chosen deino misamcho is over behei kolos. How are you misamech the chosen? By being misamech the kala, right? Then the what's it called? By being misamech the chosen, that makes the kala feel good. If the husband's happy with me, then I'm happy with him too. So that is the second pshat. And the third pshat is that in a chalem is a mitzvah on both of them. That the ikar is that what's it called? That you should create a shalom bias between these people. And shalom comes from simcha when they're happy with each other. So you misameach the chosen and the kala. Here it speaks about the kala, and in what's it called in bracha it speaks about the chosen. There it's more that you didn't fulfill your obligation to the chosen. It's not talking about the simcha of the chosen. If you're not misameach him and you're nehenem misuda, because the chosen used to pay for the suda, that's why some say that bisman hazeh the kala pays for the suda, so you don't have to be over that inyan. Because you're not nehenem misuda's chosen, it's not suda's chosen. Kala's family plays for the Suda. But in any case, so some say that it's both. But in any case, according to most of the, about all the Pshatim, you're not Yotze unless the Kala's there. It has to be your Marakid Lifnei HaKala, and that's what makes the Chosen happen. So if the Kala never comes in, and you never Marakid Lifnei HaKala, right, then the Chor, you're not Yotze the Mitzvah Simchas Chosen HaKala, and it's Mashav of the Tour like that for sure. It was Manazah where they don't bring the Kala in, or by Chasidim, which they didn't ever brought the Kala in. Kasha hayotze that mitzvah. It could be they hold that since Bochrim are there or whatever, and the chances of improper things, improper thoughts are there, better to be mevater on that mitzvah, Simchas Chosen HaKala, do it separately. The women on the Sameach the Kala and the men, the Chosen, even though it could be that you're not yotze the mitzvah completely, unless you do it in front of the Chosen and Kala, yotze Shchoro Be'efsei, though, that mitzvah they modified because of the bad consequences that could be. Okay, so now Beishamai says you say Kala Kamo Shehi, because you have to tell the truth. So there are three shitas in Beishamai. One shita is that you have to say the truth. If you think the Kala is a Miyasa Machshefa who doesn't have any Midos, and the Chosn says, what do you think of my Kala? You have to say the truth. I think she's a Miyasa Machshefa who doesn't have any Midos. You don't have to go to the chassan. You don't have to go where the chassan can ask you. Stay by the smorgasbord and keep your mouth full. right? But if you're asked, you have to say the truth. Shami held, it's also to lie, you have to say the truth. It's one pshat in Beishami, that's the most extreme. Second pshat in Beishami is Kala Kamoshehi. Find something nice. Everybody has something nice about them. Famous Maisa Nechovas Halavavas brings down that there was a Rebbe with Talmidim. They passed by a nevela that stunk. So the Talmidim said, "Wow, how foul the odorous in this nevela." And the Rebbe said, "Yeah, but it has nice white teeth." So you can always find something nice about anything. So the Kala may be a Mias HaMachsheva with no Midos Tovos, but there must be something nice about her. If you're asked, you say, "Oh, her shoes fit very nicely. What's it called? Perfect fit. Something nice about her." So, what's it called? You didn't lie. And Lamaisa, you said something nice. Find something nice about everybody. That's the second pshat in Beis Shammai. The third pshat is, you say those words, Kala Kamoshehi. The Chosson interprets it his way, and you interpret it your way. Nobody lied. You just gave a false impression, perhaps, but you didn't say anything wrong. You said exactly what you think. The Kala is just as she is. She is a Misa Mias HaMachsheva without any Midos. The Chosson heard it his way. That's Beis Shammai. Beis Shammai says, you always say, Kala no v'chasuda. So Beis Shammai says to Beis Shammai, very nice, you're nice guys, but nice, you're lying. How are you allowed to lie? So Beis Hillel answers with a question. Right? What would you say in this case? Maybe Beis Shammai would agree in the same thing there. So there are two ways of learning Beis Hillel, and then there's my way of learning. There's two ways that the Mefarshim learn over here. One way is the regular Darkei Shalom, that it's Mutter L'shanos Mepnei Darkei Shalom, and Beis Hillel held this is called Darkei Shalom. This is Darkei Shalom. Beis Shammai says, no, you can avoid Bechlau, do it in a way that you don't have to say a lie, and you'll still be Mekayim Darkei Shalom. Right? Either keep your mouth shut, right? But if you say something, you have to say the truth. Right? And Beis Hillel says, no. What's it called? That Darkei Shalom demands that you say Kala no v'chasuda. That's the most simple way of understanding this. The second way is what the Urayim says. The Urayim says that lying is only osur if it hurts somebody. If there's a sheker that brings lira, but a lie that doesn't hurt anybody, nobody gets hurt from it, right? Right? There, the lie is not osur. When the Torah said mitvar sheker tirchak, it meant lies that can harm. But lies that have no repercussions are not osur. That's what they say for Urayim, Zerishin. That's what he says. I once, in high school, came late to curfew and lied to the mashgiach, the dormitory mashgiach, and that I had permission to come late. And when my rebbeim found out that I didn't have permission, they didn't give me permission, he came and asked them, and they found out that I lied, so my punishment was I had to write a piece of Torah on how bad lying is. So the thrust of the Torah was this Urayim, that Sheker Shein Lo Rada is not also anyway. Right? Since it didn't harm anybody and hurt anybody, it wasn't anything wrong. Then they made me write an extra thing, the chutzpah of that. In any case, but there's a sheet of Urayim who says like that, that Sheker Shein Lo Ra is not also. There's other sheet that hold not like that. That Sheker is also, even if it doesn't harm anybody. Look, we got some machlokas over here. Beis Shammai says, Lamaisa, you're not allowed to lie. Even if it harms nobody. Right? You're not allowed to lie. Beis Hillel said, no. I would agree with you if the guy came to you before he got married. He's going out with this girl. What do you think? So then there's a toelis, and you could harm him. If you tell him she's a Kala no v'chasuda, right, and he's a little tummy, and he doesn't realize it, that she's really a Mias HaMachsheva, doesn't have any Midos, so maybe he's going to get married to a woman that he shouldn't be getting married to. So there's a toelis in not lying. And there's a harm that will come from lying. Then Beis Hillel says, I agree with you. But what would you say where there's absolutely no toelis in not lying? Somebody bought something, he bought a mekach ramin ashuk, he can't return it. He already bought it. It's not that he's coming to you to ask you, should he buy it? He bought it. There's nothing you can do about it. So the only thing is, you're going to make him feel bad if you tell him the truth. He can't do anything about it. If he came to ask you before he bought it, so then you're harming him by lying. Because you're inducing him to buy something that's a lemon. But if he comes to you after the fact, then the only thing you do is make him feel bad. So there's no isser in lying where it has no repercussions, bad repercussions. That's what they sort of say. The only problem is, what's the la'olam te daito shalolam urevesam? According to the first pshat, la'olam te daito shalolam urevesam avrias means be a sociable person. Shalom. Keep shalom in the world. According to the second pshat, right, the chor has nothing to do with daito shalolam urevesam avrias. It has to do with the fact that there's no bad that's going to come from this. Right? So what's the daito shalolam urevesam avrias? So could be that's a pshat, like Rashi says, lasos kirtzon ish va'ish. In other words, where it's just a matter of doing what makes a person feel good. You're not harming him by lying. Then that's a positive thing, right? The lie, if doing something to make somebody feel good, right, is not going to harm him for sure. And by telling the truth, you are going to harm him. Then there's no issue in lying. Okay, that's how everybody learns this sugya. The Migdal Oz on the Rambam. The Rambam says, Derech Brioso Shel Adam, that a person by nature is influenced by his surroundings. So the Migdal Oz said, where did the Rambam know that? That's Derech Brioso Shel Adam? Maybe it could happen. Maybe it's not part of nature. How does he know that it's mamish part of the nature of a person to be influenced by his environment? Right? The Rambam knew it because he was a doctor. The Rambam knew it because there's a Makor somewhere, says the Migdal Oz. The Makor is this Gemara. From this Gemara, the Rambam learned that a person is influenced by his environment. So, where in this Sugya is there any hint that a person is influenced by his environment? I want to say that the Pshat in Beis Hillel is the following. It's not a lie. Right? Beshami says, you're saying Kala Nova Chasuda, that's a lie. If you think she's a shechid, she's a chigera, she's a summa, you think she's a miyas tamach shefa. Okay. Says Beis Hillel, no. Since by the very nature of human beings, people are influenced by other people. And that's what it says. Mikan omru chachomin, la'olam teheidaito shalodam urevesam abrias is not a tzivui. From here, the rabbi said, you should always be sociable. Mix your mind in with other people. That's not what they said. What they said is, we learn from here that la'olam, it's impossible otherwise. It's always going to be that a person's mind is influenced by other people, is mixed in with other people. Not it should be like that. La'olam means it always is like that. The Mela. Since I'm influenced by nature, by what you think, and you're influenced by what I think. Okay, so two things are here. First of all, if you think this Kala is a Kala Nova Chasuda, obviously you do. You wouldn't marry her if you thought she was a Mi'as Machshef without Midas. But there's something that attracts you to her. You think she's a Kala Nova Chasuda, otherwise you wouldn't marry her. So there's somewhere in my psyche that also feels like that. Because it's impossible not to be influenced by other people's opinions. So even though predominantly I think she's a Mi'as Machshef without Midos, but since you think, the Kachosin thinks, that she's a Kala Nova Chasuda, there's somewhere in my mind that also has a place. And therefore, if I say it, I'm not lying. And mikan omru chachamim la'olam. It's a metzias. It's derech briyosa shel adam to be influenced by other people's thinking. So therefore, since it's derech briyosa shel adam, it's a fact of nature. Therefore, it's not a lie. That's an addition. Since what I say influences him, right? He's influenced by what I say also. If I say out, she's a kalam mechueres or whatever, or I give him the impression of that by saying her shoes fit nicely, which means I couldn't find anything else nice to say about her, right? Then I'm going to infect him, and I'm going to destroy his shalom bayis. So it's not just, you know, well, what's your opinion? Who cares what your opinion is? No, it's part of nature that people should be affected by other people's opinion. So first of all, it's not a lie for me to say Kala Nova Chasuda because you think she's a Kala Nova Chasuda, but it's also devastating for me to say what I think, because I'm going to influence you and destroy your shalom bayis. So therefore, I can say Kala Nova Chasuda, and then it's not a lie, because somewhere in my psyche, I also think like that, because you make an impression on me, somewhat. Doesn't have to be completely. Doesn't have to change my mind. But there's a place in my mind that also thinks Kala Nova Chasuda because of you. And it's important that I don't say the other way, because people influence each other by their what they think.
Doesn't Aaron in the Torah, doesn't that override this on the locus? Because he was Rod of Shalom and used to lie to tell one person one thing, another, and go back to the other thing, and that seems to be, you know, real, and that illustrates that we are allowed to without.
No, no, it could be that that which says what Aaron did is only lefi the shita that you're allowed to lie. In fact, they ask kasha on that because the shaila, it's not a blanket thing that you're allowed to lie mitnei hasholem. There are qualifications. Right? Some hold that you can't say an out and out lie. You can only say something that people could misinterpret, but you can't say an out and out lie. Only what people can misinterpret. Another qualification is it has to be something that has no implications for the present or future, only for the past. What happened in the past, not present or future. Meaning the following. If somebody comes to ask you for a loan, and you want to give them the loan, but you don't want to make them feel bad and tell them you don't want to loan them the money because you don't trust them or whatever, so you say, I don't have any money. I'm sorry, but I just don't have the money. Meanwhile, you have, you know, Fort Knox in your backyard. Right? It's a lie. But there, the lie is nogeya to the present and future, not the past. Not what happened. Where do we learn that you're allowed to lie from the Rabbanu Shalom saying that, sorry, Menu said, va'anizokanti, when she really said, va'adonizokain, and Avram is old. Right? Some say, you see from there, you're allowed to say an out and out lie. Because the Rabbanu Shalom said, she said vanizokanti, and what's it called? And really, she said vadonizokain. So the Rabbanu Shalom lied. Others say that no, the way that what happened, the Rabbanu Shalom said that he just gave her the impression, Avram, that she didn't speak about him. Just left out one part. What's it called? Shiloh over there, exactly what happened. Okay, but also over there, that's on the past. It has nothing to do with the present. On the past, we're saying something about something that happened already. It happened differently in order for Shalom. But where it has repercussions now, you want me to give you, loan you money. And I'm saying something that has an effect for the present. That could be, that's awesome. Right? So, with that which Aaron said, right, had implications for the present. Because he told this one, this guy really wants to make up with you. He's just ashamed to come to say it. He told the other one the same thing, and it wasn't really true. Each one thought the other one had to, but he told each one the other one really wants to, so each one felt bad. The other guy really wants to make up, so, okay, he admits that he's wrong, so then he made shalom between them. Right? That medrash only goes according to, some say that Dena Hanami. But Aaron held like this, right? But it could be that it's also to do that. Beishame held not like that. So that medrash wouldn't be, what's it called, wouldn't be lalocha. So you can't learn from how the medrash touches up what Aaron did that necessarily the halacha is like that. Maybe that medrash only lefi beishel, but beishame holds it, that's not true. Aaron couldn't have done such a thing. Or he did the wrong thing. Wasn't allowed to do that. Or it had different qualifications. He didn't say it the way the medrash said openly. He just gave the people the reason to think like that. But here you're saying it out and out lalocha.
Okay. Why is it more pashut to Beis Hillel or Beit Shammai too that buying Sfora is pashut but the wife isn't?
Because by buying the Sfora, since there's nothing you can do about it, you can't return it, you don't have to live with this thing, you know, constantly. So in that kind of case, it's clear that one, that it's a Sheker Shein Ora, and that you're not causing any bad to anybody, right? And you're just making somebody feel good. Over here, ain't a chinami, right? You can't do anything. You could divorce her. You're probably not going to divorce her. But there is something you could do. Secondly, the guy has to live with this woman. So maybe it is a sheker shara, because even though he married her, but if he constantly thinks she's a kalanova chasud and doesn't see her chisrel, knows something bad could come from it. So Beis Hillel just said, Lamaisa, it's the same matzah. Lamaisa, he's married to her, right? It's not going to come bad if you tell them good things about her. So the rabbi, they'll get along together, right? But by the chayfetz, there's nothing to come. It wasn't come bad, right? He's going to feel good about a chayfetz that's really bad. So what? right? If he's telling him, you know, like, oh, that hammer is really great and really it's going to fall apart or whatever and go and kill somebody because it broke apart, then maybe. But over here, where that's usually, that's not the case. Okay, but that's the... What? Yeah, that's the second shot in Kala Kamoshi. Find something nice about her. There's another shot here, and that is that you're not saying facts. These are all perceptions. Kala Noa v'chasuda, right? Chut shel chesed. L'maisa, she could be an ugly witch. But sometimes you look at somebody in such a way, you don't see that. You see the chain, it's a more of a subjective kind of thing. So where it's an objective thing, then it's a lie. But in subjective things, it can't be a lie because everybody has their subjective opinion. So I'm not telling you a lie, I'm telling you, right, if I tell you my opinion, that's not necessarily the truth. That's how I see things. Right? So it could be that the way I see it is she's an ugly witch with no midos. But it's very subjective how you look at things. So by saying Kalu Noa v'chasuda, not just Noah, but chasuda means an echanami. According to the facts, right, she's a summa chigeras, but it's very possible summa chigeras could look nice to somebody, subjectively. So in subjective things, that's what it says, l'olam te daito murevis and mabrios, means that in subjective things, where it's not dependent on black and white, but cold hard facts, but there's a subjective idea, it's not a lie to say something that implies subjectively how somebody else could feel about something, about the same facts. Somebody could look at the facts this way, could look at the facts the other way. No, one is not a lie and the other one's not the truth, it's just two different opinions. That already is not called a lie. That's another way of understanding.